Of all the controversy surrounding many of the 22 propositions on the California ballot for November 7th, perhaps the most interest has been generated by Proposition 22, the Farm Labor Initiative, because of the wide-scale fraud uncovered in the gathering of signatures to place the initiative on the ballot. The United Farm Workers Union says that the proposition would destroy the union, that the union is virtually in a struggle for its continued existence. Proponents of the measure, the Farm Bureau, the Farm Labor Practices Committee, and other organizations representing growers' interests, say the initiative will provide for smooth arbitration of farm labor disputes, lower food prices, and provide elections enabling farm workers to choose who will be their bargaining agent. With me are Cesar Chavez, president of the United Farm Workers Union, and Sam Kushner, veteran labor reporter and Los Angeles correspondent for The People's World. I'm Mary Bass. Before we actually talk about Proposition 22, would you give us some background in how it relates to what's happening with the farm workers in various other states where you've been organizing?
Well, see, the reason that the proponents of 22 have gone on the initiative route is because they tried to get the same legislation through the state about three times, and they failed. They went to the federal Congress in 1970, and they were left out of the Congress because the proposition is so biased and so one-sided against the workers. And so then they're going now in California on the proposition route to try and go to the voters directly and try to fool them into voting for something that's totally unconstitutional and extremely unfair. It's wicked and it's a fraud, because it was qualified through a lot of misrepresentations and frauds and forgeries. And so Proposition 22 is really just a part of the overall attack on the union from the legislative angle by the American Farm Bureau Federation and the National Right to Work Committee and Sunkist, and when all of the traditional opponents of farm labor.
In what states have you had these kind of battles in the last year?
In several states, I don't remember all of them, but we've had them in New York, Florida. We had them in Washington, Oregon, California. They're shaping up in Ohio and Michigan. We had a battle in Wisconsin, I believe. And we lost in Kansas. They have something similar to 22 in the books there. We lost in Idaho, and we lost in Arizona.
Let's talk about Arizona for a moment, because that seems to be unique in the sense that I understand that your union, together with others, has sponsored a recall movement of Governor Jack Williams, whom you hold largely responsible for that law, and that you have now collected sufficient signatures to have a special election.
It's true. We told the governor that if he signed that unconstitutional bill, a bill that was passed with through all kinds of frauds, including having semi-secret hearings where we could not be present to testify, because whenever every time the workers presented themselves to present testimony, the hearings were either adjourned or they were canceled or they were moved somewhere else. But at any rate, it was passed, and we're holding the government responsible because he should have had enough sense to know that the law is extremely biased against workers, but also because he refused to meet with us, with the workers, to try and take our opposition and our arguments against it. And so we embarked on a recall movement against him starting in June. We needed 103,000 signatures. We now have about 112,000, and the recall will probably be sometime after the general election.
In other words, you are going all out in regard to those who are opposed to you. You are opposing them with every means at your disposal, including recall of governors if necessary.
That's right. We also want to recall a couple of judges in California who issue out injunctions against our union in the Delano area, like if they were handing out popcorn. And I think that that's not only unfair and biased, but also, I think, illegal. So they should, if they want to continue as judges, it should cost them a little work. They should have to spend money to be reelected. They should have to take the workers on the struggle, on the ballot box, and I have a hunch that they're not going to be so ready to issue out those injunctions when they feel the pressure on them by the workers.
What about the fraud and misrepresentation uncovered in the collection of signatures for 22? You had a press conference about a month ago showing members of the press affidavits filed by people who claim to have been misrepresented or their signatures forged. Have you continued to collect this kind of evidence, and what is the extent of it?
We have about 6,000 to 7,000 affidavits from people who are testifying under oath that the petition was misrepresented to them. That's why they voted. That's why they signed the petition. That in many cases that their names were forged on the petition itself. We have affidavits from children who were asked, who were used as circulators of the petition, which is totally illegal. We have cases of dead people's names appearing on the petition. We have cases of a circulator circulating petitions in the evening and then doubling as an employee at the county clerk's office and certifying those petitions that she gathered in the evening. We have all sorts of unbelievable fraud. We gave this information to the various district attorneys in the larger counties, San Diego, Orange, Los Angeles, San Bernardino, Kern, Fresno, Sacramento, San Francisco, Alameda, Santa Clara, and so forth. And the district attorneys have not moved in any one instance have they moved to prosecute the people who committed the fraud. We gave the information to the attorney, to the Secretary of State. Secretary of State Brown went to court before a Superior Court in Sacramento, trying to get the petition, the rather 22, removed from the ballot. And the judge there did not want to rule because he thought that if he ruled at this point, it would cause irreparable harm to the proponents of 22. And so it continues on the ballot. It's a fraud, and yesterday at the hearings here with the Assembly Committee on Elections and Reapportionment, we heard that the district attorney here in Los Angeles County is now preparing to issue out indictments, and so we hope that this comes to pass, but also we would hope that the other counties will do likewise. But 22 is going to get on the ballot because of fraud, and not only is it a fraud in the sense how he got there, but the whole idea of 22 is a fraud on the workers and on the people of California.
What about the proposition itself? The proponents of the measure say that it's going to provide for secret ballot elections for farm workers now, indicating that somehow this hasn't been true in the past.
Well, first of all, one has to consider the history of the growers. At no time have the growers been willing to let the workers have any labor or social legislation that would be beneficial to the workers. And so we're sure that if they're proposing something, it's not really at their care for the workers, but it's a gimmick as they've done for so many years now. And so Proposition 22 has only one main objective, and that is to take the right of workers to strike at harvest time and to prevent the farm workers from boycotting the farm products when they get into a strike. And those are the two things that they want to accomplish. But in order to sugarcoat the proposition, in order to try and fool the voters into voting for it, then they go out and they claim that they're giving the workers under 22 an election procedure to help the workers determine whether they want a union or not. But that's a complete falsehood, because in fact, the procedure that's prescribed under 22 would eliminate about 95% of the workers from voting, because Proposition 22 states clearly that there shall be no election at any time when the number of migrant and seasonal workers outnumber the number of permanent workers. And so 5% of the workforce in California is permanent. 5% will vote to determine under Proposition 22 whether the other 95 should have a union. Then they have all kinds of restrictions. For instance, a worker cannot vote more than once in any 12-month period. A worker cannot sign a representational card. unless he's been employed, first, unless he's worked 100 days of the previous year in any geographic area, and secondly, in order to sign, he must have worked 14 days out of the last 30 days with any one employer in order to sign the card. So in fact, with all of these restrictions, in fact, there's no elections. And whatever elections may come about will be 5% of the workers will be voting and determining for the other 95%.
Two aspects of elections that perhaps you'd like to comment on. First, some of the growers who are supporting Proposition 22 are the lettuce growers in the Salinas Valley and in Santa Maria, as I understand it. And did they have elections when they recognized the Teamsters last year?
You know what happened there? Not only did they not have elections, but in order to recognize the Teamsters, they ran to them. See, the reason that they went to the Teamsters was that we called on the lettuce industry, on the employers, in April of 1970, and we said, we want you to recognize the Farm Workers Union. We represent your workers. We want you to sit down and bargain collectively with us. We also stated, we are prepared to prove to you that we do, in fact, represent the workers, and we're willing to abide by a procedure for this proof, and meaning we want an election. And not only did they not answer us, but they got together and ran to the Teamsters and went to the Teamsters and signed a contract with the Teamsters when, in fact, the Teamsters didn't represent the workers, and in fact, they didn't even want to sign a contract. But supposedly they signed a contract for 5 years, but when the workers found out that the contract had been signed behind their backs, we took all the workers out on strike. And so there's no way in which those contracts can be put into effect, because the moment that the company, the Teamsters, is moving to put them into effect, that would people walk out on strike. And so then we asked them for elections, and we asked Governor Reagan, because he was criticizing us in Delano. I said, okay, if you want elections, we asked him for him to conduct the elections as the unbiased underlying third party. And of course, they all refused.
I want to follow up one other question on elections. Your union has gone through a whole series of representation elections since you were organized. The last time I checked, you had won every election except one, and that was being challenged. Now, I don't know what the status is these days, but have you ever lost an election? Have you ever refused to go through a representation election in the history of your union?
Never. We've had many elections. The employers are trying to make a case for themselves, but we've had all sorts of elections, secret ballot elections, we've had check cards, we've had elections conducted by third parties, the American Arbitration Association, the Federal Mediation and Conciliation Service, the State Conciliation Service, the Bishops Migratory Committee, and we've had other clergymen involved and so forth. And we won all of the elections. There was one election where we lost, and that election was lost. There were 60 people. And a day before the election, the company came and offered the workers a 40% wage increase if they voted against the union. So, of course, they voted against the union. But then we went and we protested that to the company, which had a labor industrial relations guy who thanks to his experience, you know, in other unions, thought that was extremely unfair. And so we wind up getting the election and winning because...
So you're still betting 1,000%.
We are betting 1,000%, and we will give an election at a drop of a hat to any employer. It doesn't matter who they are. We'll take them on.
I understand that if Proposition 22 were to pass, anyone who carried a boycott lettuce sign in front of a Safeway, for example, could be put in prison for a year. How does that work?
That's a good place to carry a picket sign in front of the Safeway store. They would, in fact, be put in jail. Because Proposition 22 states that there shall be no boycotting by trade name or no boycotting by generic name. And it sets a whole series of restrictions on the boycotting activities of the union, including the board, or Proposition 22, which creates a board, would regulate completely even what kind of wording we could have on those picket signs. And so it's totally unacceptable, and it's done only with the intent and purpose of keeping the workers from carrying out their legitimate boycotts.
We are told, the public in general, that labor peace will result if Proposition 22 goes into effect. Now, at a press conference last week, you made mention of the fact that the factors in Proposition 22 already have created or helped to create one of the strikes in the fields, and that is at the White River Farm, as I understand it, in Delano and Poplar. Can you tell us a little bit some of the issues in that strike and as to how the Proposition 22 thinking, the Proposition 22 mentality, created this walkout, which is probably the bitterest one you've had now since your union was formed?
Right. Well, we've had it at the White River Farms. We've had a contract there. That was the first labor contract our union signed. In fact, that was the very first one back in April of 1966. The ranch was then owned by Shenley Distilleries. But since then, last year, the ranch was sold to an outfit out of Oakland, the Buttes Gas and Oil Company. Buttes Gas and Oil Company is a scab company. They've never had contracts with any union, as far as we can determine. They refused to negotiate, first on wages. We were asking them to meet the wage level that the other unions, union operations in Delano have. They wouldn't do it. Secondly, they wanted to do away with language that we've had there for 6 years and which proved very successful for the union and the company prior to their coming to the picture. So really we find now that Buttes Gas and Oil wanted very much not to sign a contract. They wanted to force us into a strike, which they did. And the purpose and reason of the company forcing the union to a strike is because they want to use this struggle campaign propaganda material for their assault on the union come later part of this month to get the message to the people to vote for Proposition 22. And so that ranch is the first indication that these employers whose contracts are becoming due or that we're striking to renew contracts or to get new contracts are holding and are banking considerably on what they think is going to be the eventual victory of Proposition 22. So they're getting ready for it. And so Proposition 22 is not going to bring peace to the fields. It's going to force the workers to struggle even harder. It's going to force the workers to disregard 22 if it should get enacted and to somewhere or another come up with a union.
Now, some of the provisions that this company is trying to write into contract essentially the things that Proposition 22 provides for?
Exactly. They want to do away with the whole question of union security and worker security. They want to have a boycott clause that applied. They have 25,000 acres. Only 5,000 under contract. They wanted a boycott that would apply to all of their acreage, even though the others are not under contract. And it's bad business. It's the American Farm Bureau Federation and the National Right to Work Committee. Also, 22 has a provision that would, in effect, create a right to work law for farm workers. And the other thing that has to be understood is that we're the only union being attacked that way. Because the National Right to Work Committee and the others feel that we're the weakest link in the chain. If they get our union, they can get then the others. And if Proposition 22 should be enacted, that the other unions are next. And in 1974, we'll see on the ballot another right to work proposal.
With the growers in particular, do you see this campaign as an economic issue from their point of view? In other words, do the farm workers, as a union, cost the growers more money or that much more money than what they would pay workers who were not unionized? Or is there something more involved?
It's more involved than just money. Because the company right now, in order to pick those grapes, is paying at least 80 to 90% above what they would be paying the union workers had they settled with the company. So, and the company personnel, the management have said in two occasions publicly that money is no object.
Why are they so intransigent, particularly with regard to the farm workers?
Because the company is allied with those forces in agriculture that want to destroy the union, and they want to not only stop the union from making more advances, but they want to deteriorate the union's position in terms of the other contracts the other ranches that we have organized, and they want to make sure that those ranches don't sign and don't renegotiate new contracts.
A couple of the growers have put it this way. They think that control of their farms is being taken away from them. How do you see that? I guess particularly when the farm workers are negotiating on what kind of machinery can be used, what kind of pesticides can be used, and when, that kind of thing. Well, how do you see that issue?
Well, we're not negotiating on anything other than what other unions have negotiated with other employers. It's a whole mentality of the growers. It's a mentality that they don't want to accept the union. They accepted the union and only in those cases where the boycott forced them to accept it. And so, but at every step, they still try to destroy it. We still don't have a secure farm workers union in California or any place for that matter. The employers are still trying very hard to destroy it. And as long as that mentality continues, the struggle is going to continue.
Underscore, you've had now over 300 arrests in the White River Farms situation. As a matter of fact, you've had more arrests here than you had in the entire grape strike.
That's right.
As I recall.
That's true.
Is this the direction the growers and the courts and so on?
Exactly. There's tremendous repression against us. It's subtle. They use the courts. For instance, the courts in the valley are so biased. An employer, a grower, can go into a court and walk out 5 minutes later with an injunction against us. They've got us enjoined against only three pickets to an entrance, which is ridiculous in farm labor. They've got us restricted from, we cannot get within 100 feet from the strike break, from the scabs. Not only we cannot follow them from the field to see where they live at home, we cannot visit them at homes, we cannot picket them at their homes, and we cannot engage in conversation if they're shopping or at the show or at the market. And we can't do our work of trying to get the strike breakers convinced, and getting them out to help us. It's a total ban. Pretty soon, the only thing you haven't done is to outright ban the right of the union to exist.
Which they're trying to do through 22.
That's right.
I understand there's a Supreme Court decision which allows unions to go on the property of the employer to organize and perpetrate other union activities. How does this figure in with the kinds of injunctions which have been coming down?
Well, you see, the employers are going to fight us at every ranch. It's not a question of the Supreme Court making a decision, but then they'll get an injunction by the lower court. It doesn't matter what the Supreme Court said. We'll be jailed, and then we'll go to court, and 5 years later we'll win, but we've lost the strike. That's the way they work it.
Let's get back to 22. How do you see the campaign? What is your union in the first place doing to win on 22? What do you see the labor movement doing as a whole? And thirdly, what do you see the public that has supported your union, your boycott in the past doing?
Well, first of all, we're running a poor man's campaign. We're leafleting the factories. We're leafleting the large office buildings in Los Angeles. We're leafleting the churches. We're leafleting wherever people congregate. We're having public appearances, rallies, and a lot of public speaking, and we're trying to get the unions to go to their membership and to educate them on 22, and they're doing a very good job through newspapers and newsletters and so forth, and at their meetings. The big problem we have is that we're poor. We don't have the money. We need about $300,000 to run an effective media campaign, which we don't have. The other side reportedly has about $750,000, and of course they're going to use it. And so that's the biggest problem. But they haven't started the announcements yet. So far, without them using the announcements, without them fighting back, it looks very good for us, but that can be deceiving because they haven't started fighting yet. When they get half a million dollars to three-quarters of $1 million and just put it on all of the media in L.A., in Los Angeles, it's going to be very difficult for us to combat that, because they're going to come with such things as, if you want to lower food prices, vote yes on 22, and they'll be saying things like, give the farm workers a secret ballot election, vote yes on 22. And so we've got to make the explanation in order to be telling people vote no on 22. And so with a public that is aware of the issues, there's no problem. No problem with the labor leaders, no problem with the church groups. The problem comes in just the vast masses, that you that aren't familiar with it, and you've got to get to them somehow.
The Nixon administration has not been enforcing illegals in the field. What about 4 more years under Nixon? How does that affect the farm workers?
4 years under Nixon will be hell for the Farm Workers Union and the farm workers and all everybody who wants to change things in this country. The Nixon administration has refused to go into the fields where we're striking and where our brothers are working who are being brought from Mexico as illegals to break our strikes. They refuse to go in there and take the people out, so consequently the strikes are being broken left and right, and because of the large numbers of people being brought in legally to break strikes. And so we've screamed and we've protested and we've done everything we could, and still they're not moving. It's an outright illegal action, and I think quite corrupt action on the part of the Immigration Service in combination with the employers. And it's a conspiracy to break the strike, and it's an out and out conspiracy, and they know it, and we know it. There's very little we can do except scream and continue to ask people to, in whatever way they can, to put the pressure on their senators and congressmen, to put the pressure in turn on the Immigration Service to in turn perform its job.
Your union in the last 6 years has organized 40, 50,000 members, whatever the figures may be. And a large percentage of them are involved in this fight on Proposition 22. I, for one, am very much impressed with what I'm told, that you are planning to bring as many as 1,000 workers into counties like Los Angeles to campaign, hundreds into Alameda and San Francisco County and so forth. No other union can do anything comparable in the United States today with that percentage of its membership. Actually, how much of your membership will be involved in this fight on 22?
Sam, I think that almost 100% will be involved in one way or another. For instance, those that can't travel to the cities will be involved in staying home and working and then sharing their earnings so that the other workers don't lose that much money from taking time out. Those that can't travel up here will be doing the campaign in their own areas. And see, they've come to realize the extreme danger of 22. Very well, as you know, workers are very quick to learn, especially when the union is at stake, when the union is about to be wiped out. And so there's no problem in getting the workers. The problem is ourselves. We don't have the resources to get them here. We don't have a place to feed them and to house them and to transport them. And it's a case where you have tremendous will and desire to participate of a union so poor they can't even transport them here. But we'll do the best we can, and we're going to get some into the cities.
You think you're going to lick it?
I think that if we could raise $300,000 to offset their media campaign, I would say yes immediately.
You've been listening to Cesar Chavez, president of the United Farm Workers Union, in a discussion of Proposition 22, the Farm Labor Initiative. With me is Sam Kushner, veteran labor reporter and L.A. correspondent of The People's World. This is Mary Bess for KPFK.